It is Wednesday, December 16th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
A looming wave of evictions is expected to hit Black and Latino families especially hard. Meanwhile, the GOP's intra-party feuding in Georgia is reaching new heights of absurdity. Donald Trump is busily raising money for the Senate runoff in the state, but there's a real question of how much of it is going to his party candidates. And lastly, federal regulators are poised to approve a second coronavirus vaccine this week, this one from Moderna. And for the first time in the United States, a take-home COVID-19 test is soon headed to drugstore shelves.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
This cruel winter will soon take an even harsher turn for many. Politico reports that the expiration of the federal eviction ban at the end of the month will hurt Black and Latino tenants most, financially hobbling them for years and worsening the United States' staggering racial wealth gap. Black and Latino people are twice as likely to rent as white people. Just 29% of Black renters and 31% of Latino renters reported having high confidence that they'd be able to make their rent this month. This according to Politico, citing the most recent census survey. That's compared with half of white renters. The Center for Disease Control's nationwide ban on evictions expires December 31, Politico reports. Landlords are expected to rush to initiate eviction proceedings in the 3 weeks before President-elect Joe Biden is inaugurated. Housing advocates are pushing for lawmakers to pass a relief package with tens of billions of dollars in rental subsidies when the next Congress convenes. And there's growing bipartisan support for rent relief as the best way to protect both tenants and landlords. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports that bureaucrats nationwide are scrambling to unload hundreds of millions in federal aid for tenants before the December 30th deadline. More than 400 state and local governments have used money from the Federal CARES Act to set up funds to cover at least $4.3 billion in rental assistance. But many jurisdictions are reporting trouble spending it. They're on pace to have more than $300 million left over. Tenant advocates, landlord organizations, and local government associations have called on Congress to extend the December 30 deadline. That should be an easy win for either party. Joe Biden was in Georgia yesterday to campaign for the Democratic U.S. Senate candidates John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. Back in Washington, Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell finally congratulated Biden on his victory, more than a month after Biden actually won. Donald Trump still refusing to concede. The Washington Post reports that McConnell's bow to reality sets up a struggle for control of the GOP. Speaking to that point, Utah Senator Mitt Romney told CBS News yesterday that Trump's presidency has thrown his party's core principles into doubt. Yeah, I'll say. Forgive us for wondering what those principles were to begin with. Senate was the best shot Trump had to at least gum up the works of Biden's ascension to the presidency. But Trump has very much not given up on overturning the election. He even retweeted lawyer L. Lynn Wood's call yesterday morning for Georgia Governor Brian Kemp to go to jail because he feels Kemp hasn't fought hard enough for him. Trump's machine is raising money to fight off the Democrats in Georgia, Politico reports. But most of the money is going to Trump's own political action committee. Not a cent of the money Trump raises is going to the party's U.S. Senate candidates David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, which is hilarious. Trump's fundraising prowess is also one measure of his ongoing sway over the Republican Party. Meanwhile, in Virginia, state senator and gubernatorial candidate Amanda Chase yesterday called on Trump to declare martial law to prevent his removal from office. Chase bills herself as, quote, Trump in heels, end quote. Really, nobody needed that image.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
At last, hundreds more hospitals around the country began dispensing COVID-19 shots to their workers yesterday in a rapid expansion of the U.S. vaccination drive, according to the Associated Press. Meanwhile, a second vaccine moved to the cusp of government authorization. A day after the rollout of the Pfizer's coronavirus shots, the Food and Drug Administration said its preliminary analysis confirmed the effectiveness and safety of the vaccine developed by Moderna and the National Institutes of Health. A panel of outside experts is expected to vote to recommend the formula on Thursday, with the FDA's green light coming soon after. The Moderna vaccine uses the same technology as Pfizer's and showed similarly strong protection against COVID-19, according to the AP. However, Moderna's vaccine is easier to handle because it does not need to be kept in a deep freeze. Another weapon against the outbreak can't come soon enough. The number of dead in the U.S. passed a staggering 300,000 on Monday. On average, there are now 2,400 deaths and over 210,000 new cases per day. Hospitals are strained nationwide. The Los Angeles Times reports that L.A. County, home to 10 million people, has fewer than 100 beds available in intensive care units. Also yesterday, regulators approved the first home test for COVID-19 that doesn't require a prescription. According to the AP, the test from Australian manufacturer Elum will soon be available at pharmacies and for purchase online, priced around $30. Currently, the U.S. is testing nearly 2 million people daily. Most health experts agree the country needs to be testing many, many times more. Maybe this will do the trick.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Former Ohio State Senator and Bernie Sanders surrogate Nita Turner made her bid for Congress official yesterday. The Cleveland Plain Dealer reports that Turner is the third candidate to join the primary for Representative Marsha Fudd's congressional seat. Joe Biden recently named Fudge to head the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. Turner will face Cuyahoga County Councilwoman Chantel Brown, former Cleveland City Councilman Jeff Johnson. This race is definitely one to watch. In other Biden cabinet news, Biden will reportedly nominate former McKinsey consultant, presidential candidate, and South Bend, Indiana mayor Pete Buttigieg to lead the Department of Transportation. Does South Bend have a transit network? I mean, does it matter? The International Criminal Court has decided not to pursue an investigation into China's mass detention of Muslims, this according to the New York Times. Prosecutors in The Hague said they would not, for now, investigate allegations of genocide targeting the Uyghur minority because the alleged crimes took place in China, which is not a party to the court. How very, very convenient. Lawyers for Ghislaine Maxwell, the former girlfriend and alleged accomplice of sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, are urging a judge to free her to await trial, this according to CBS News. Maxwell's proposed $28.5 million bail package would include armed guards to ensure she remains safe and doesn't flee a New York City residence. The identities of seven friends and family members willing to pledge about $5 million of their own assets toward the bail package were not revealed. Maybe check Epstein's little black book?
Quicker, quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us this afternoon at noon live for the Majority Report or later as a podcast.